At this time, if there are any children that are heading to junior worship, that they can be dismissed at this time. Well, I've been out this week. We, as a family, went and did some college visits. And as a result of that, I really didn't get to my preparation until later in the week. So as a result of that, there won't be anything on the screen, and I didn't have an insert prepared for today. But we are going to, if you have your Bibles, be in James chapter 1. So you can be there, and that's really the only place we're going to look at. We're going to look at one of my favorite passages, one that's really helped me the most in my life, and it deals with kind of a heavy subject, and that is the reality that we go through a lot of trials in life. We go through difficult circumstances, and I want us to understand God's purposes this morning and how we can face the trials that come our way, whatever they are. I learned a principle when I was in junior high school about this idea that sometimes difficulty can, there can be a positive benefit from going through something difficult. I learned this through some of my junior high coaches. That was the first time I really got involved with some intense coaches. And I remember in junior high in track, I had a coach by the name of Mr. Downhour. And he, in the preseason, he made us run intervals and repeats, and he ran us so hard that I can literally remember after a few days of practice walking to school, and with every step I would take, pain was just shooting up both of my legs. And I'm like, this is not worth it. But then we got to the season, and we were in really good shape, and it paid off. I thought, oh, sometimes pain is good. Now, I had another coach, basketball coach in junior high, and he was like, he thought he was Bobby Knight. You know, a lot of coaches back in that era thought they were Bobby Knight. And this coach, I mean, you know, he would make us run and dive, you know, roll the ball out there, and we'd have to try to kill each other to see who could get to the ball first. And his technique was he brought to practice a little ballet ballerina skirt, a little ruffly thing. And the guy who didn't get the ball had to wear the skirt the rest of the practice. So, you know, he'd probably be fired if he did that now. But, you know, So I guess I'm not really sure what lesson I learned about that, but it came to my mind, so I thought I'd share it. I didn't have to wear the skirt. So, anyway. Well, I want us to look at James chapter 1. And the idea that God really does use difficulties for a positive purpose. There can be benefit, great benefit. And so if you would join me, I'm going to be reading starting in verse 2 of chapter 1 of the book of James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then James adds, and if any of you lacks wisdom in the midst of trials, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Wisdom will be given to him. But when a person asks, he must believe God and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. Pretty strong language about our faith when we pray needs to be strong, and it needs to be in God. Well, I want to just unpack a few lessons from this passage about trials for us this morning. The first and most obvious one is that life is made up of a series of trials that come in all forms. Life is simply one trial after another with a little bit of maybe a break in between, but it usually doesn't last very long. And it says in this passage, going back up to the beginning, whenever you face trials of many kinds, and the idea there is that they come in all forms. Some of them are little trials, little things that just kind of are irritants, and some of us even this morning in the prayer request time, we recognize some of us are experiencing great trials, heavy burdens that are like weights that we carry around on our backs, and trials come in all forms. Some of them are external, meaning that they're not trials that we kind of brought on ourselves. They're just things that kind of happen to us. We find ourselves in the middle of a difficult circumstance. Maybe there's stress at the workplace because, you know, you have a boss that's just impossible. Or maybe you got a negative report, you know, from the doctor, and all of a sudden life just stops. Life just changes. Maybe you're in an accident. Something that just in life just happens. Those are external kinds of trials, and that is one category that he's talking about here, James is talking about. There's also, in the category of trials, there's internal trials that we face. Those may be, in fact, we're not going to get to it today, but later in James 1, he talks about temptations. Those things that are inside of us, maybe a temptation, you know, toward sin, towards pride, or towards gossip, or towards lust, or a hundred other things, but it's more of an internal trial that we face. And in the middle of the trial, whether it's external or internal, as we go through them, we have a choice to make as a Christian. Okay, he's talking to brothers here. He says they're my brothers. We have a choice to make. And the choice is, as I go through this, am I going to trust God? And am I going to try to obey God and follow God? Or am I, in the midst of the pressure of this trial, am I going to follow the world, or am I going to give in to my fleshly temptations, my anger, my old way of doing things? Every trial that we go through is, in a sense, an opportunity, a choice of which way are we going to go with this thing. And so this is like an everyday thing almost for many of us. So we go through these trials. These trials, what are they? They're tests that develop or reveal where our faith is at. Now, we don't always think about that when we're going through the midst of a difficult situation, but James is telling us, we need to wake up and understand as we go through the trials, God is doing something at the level of our faith. He's asking us a question. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to trust me as you go through this trial, whether it's little or big or whatever it is? And so that is what a trial is. It's specifically designed to examine, to test, to prove where our faith is at. A trial, James is saying here, by the way, trial is not punishment from God. It's not a curse. Sometimes I think we wrestle with that. We think if we're going through a difficult time, oh, God must be punishing me. No, God's intention is not punishment. God's intention, as we will see in this passage, is something very positive, something far greater. I read an account about a project that a group of scientists did over in Cornwall, England. They developed a series of biomes which were large, covered, like tents or environments and domes where they were going to produce the perfect environment. It was called the Eden Project, named after the Garden of Eden. And they were going to their goal was to create a perfect environment for growing plants and trees. I mean, these were huge dome things, and they had the perfect temperature and the perfect moisture and all of that. And the project failed. As they got into it, all of the plants began to wither and die, and the trees didn't grow. And so they went to a tree expert, and they asked, they were like, "What's going on here? Why is this not working?" And they said, and the tree expert examined the thing, said, "Well, you forgot one environmental ingredient here: wind. Because trees and plants have to experience the resistance force of wind. And when they experience that, it causes the nutrients in the tree to kind of do what it's supposed to do and to move into the roots and so forth. And so the trees died because they had no resistance. There's something about an environment where we experience resistance that creates the opportunity for growth, for things to move, for decisions to be made. And that's the idea that James is pointing out. When that's gone, when all we have is, day after day, year after year of no trials, there would be no growth. I mean, the testimonies. Every person says the greatest times of growth in my life were when I went through the most difficult times, the most difficult circumstances. That's when God really began to reveal to me things that in me that needed to change or develop in me my character to be more like, the Savior. And it's trials. That's what God is doing. Now, the second observation, just from using the words from the text, is that God designs these trials, and he calls them. He tells us specifically in the next verse what they are. They are tests of our faith. Trials are faith testers. Now, I kind of already made that point, but I want to emphasize it now. Trials are faith testers. God is orchestrating. I mean, he's not just kind of haphazardly throwing things your way. He is specifically designing things, trials that you will experience to test your faith. He knows what you need. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows where there's flaws in your character that he wants to bring out so that he can develop that. And so he designs trials. I'm not saying that God is the author of evil, the distinction there, but God is sovereign, and he allows and even designs the things that come into our life. So I think it's a good question to ask, "Hey God, what are you up to when we go through a trial?" But be serious about it. God, what are you up to here? What is it that you want to do? So don't just be quick to say, "God, take the trial away. Oh God, let's pray. Take it away, take it away, take it away." Maybe the prayer should be, "God, in the midst of this trial, God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to teach my heart? What do you want to do in me to develop me for your glory?" And now we're getting to the purpose for which we exist, to glorify God in our lives. And he uses trials to test our faith. There in verse 3 where it says the testing of your faith. That's what a trial is. What is faith? Faith is the call to believe in something, in this case God. He's the object of our faith. To believe in his person, in his character, in his promises, It means to believe to the point of complete trust and reliance, to have confidence that God is at work in your life, that God has everything under control. To trust in His presence, that He is there for you, and His promises. And then trust and faith isn't just kind of an internal, I'm going to depend upon you, God, but it also has the connotation, the idea in it that as I go through this trial, as I trust you, part of that trust is I'm going to obey you. God, I'm going to conduct myself in this trial in a way that honors you. And if there's instruction from your word that helps me in this situation to know how I ought to walk through this in humility, you know, and in truth, I'm going to follow your path, God, because that's part of what faith in action looks like, and that's what it's all about. We gotta quit just putting faith in the realm of, you know, something that's just internal and it never gets into our actions. What's the old hymn say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus and to be growing in Jesus, I would add. And so God designs trials to test our faith. The next thing I see in this passage is that God's goal for trials is, and here's, now we're getting down to the bottom line, God's goal is our maturity. Our spiritual maturity. It says there, because you know, I mean, it's almost like he's telling these, let me give you a little background here, by the way, a little context. The book of James is written to Jewish believers in the very first century. When the church first began, most of the believers early on were all Jewish that had been converted to Christ until Paul went out with the missionary, you know, journeys, and Gentiles began to come to Christ. And these early Jewish Christians, their fellow Jewish countrymen, they were not happy about these brothers converting to Christ. And so these early Jewish believers faced constant persecution and rejection from their families, from those that were closest to them. So Paul's writing actually in the letter to these people who are experiencing all kinds of trials because of their faith. And it says there that the test, we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. And then verse 4, perseverance then leads to something else. It must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, it's not talking here about becoming absolutely perfect or absolutely sinless, or I would reach a place, oh, I've gone through so many trials and I've trusted God and I finally reached the place where I don't ever sin anymore. No, but he's talking about a development and a growth into being more like Christ in the way that we respond to trials, in the way that our trust gets deeper and deeper and stronger as we trust God in the midst of trials. That idea of maturity or completeness means that he's gonna take our character and he's gonna make it, develop it where there's no gaping holes. You know what I'm saying? That we're not perfect, but we also we're growing to a point where Satan just can't come in because we have a weak spot and just take us out easy. We our character begins to become more fully developed to be more like Christ, and it's that only happens when we are faithful in the midst of trials. So I want your minds, if it hasn't already began, to think about, what trials are you in personally right now? What are some of those tests of your faith that God has you in right now. I bet you we could take time this morning. Every one of us could name something that we are in the middle of or that we just kind of moved through. That is a trial, that is a test of our faith. God's purpose is for our maturity. Pastor Andy Stanley puts it this way. He says, all of us have wondered at times why God doesn't do more to fix our problems. But our human eyes often fail to see that God isn't rushing to change our circumstances because He is concerned much more with a much more serious problem, our character. While you struggle with the woes of this world, God's main occupation is preparing you for the world to come. The focus on what God is doing in your life takes place in you, not around you. Does that make sense? When you're going through a trial, God isn't just, you know, He's not as concerned with all the circumstances. Even though to you they feel huge, they feel overwhelming, He's actually most concerned with you. And how are you walking through this? And are you leaning on Him? Are you turning it over to Him in prayer? And are you saying, God, examine my heart, like David prayed. Examine me and show me and change me. God, this trial has brought some things to the surface. I see some things in me, God, that I don't like. I see some impatience or some anger or some passivity. Or I just see, God, that I have a hard time trusting You. My faith isn't real strong right now, God. Increase my faith. Grow my faith. This trial process, the imagery is a very classic one. It's in the mining of gold, where they take the product and they put it under the intense heat of the fire, right? And what happens under that intense heat is the dross, that which is not pure alloy, gets burned away. And when the testing process is over, what you're left with is pure gold, is the pure usable product. And that's what God is doing. The trial comes into our life, and it's like God's turning up the heat. And in the middle of that heat, you know, the dross of our life gets exposed. And then God, like a skillful surgeon, comes in and he's able to take that away from us and mature us in that area. And when He's done with us, what is left is something that is more pure and more usable in the hands of God. I hope that as I'm sharing this and describing this, there's something that's getting a little bit excited inside of you. I hope that you're just not like, man, what a bummer. You know, I hope there's something inside of you that says, you know what? I want to be like Christ. I want to become more godly. I want to please God with my life. And so this actually gives me hope, because before, you know, I just went through trials and they just were always, there was nothing good in them. I just was frustrated all the time. But now I can see God's at work here. Wait a minute, maybe there's hope in this. Because I can promise you, whether you're a believer or a follower of God or believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. You're still going to go through trials. That is life on this planet. But now we can see there's hope, there's purpose. In fact, I would even argue there is ultimate purpose. There is hugely important purpose in trials. God, it's like, get this, friends. I believe it is His main tool. It's what gets our attention. And it's in the midst when we're most weak and vulnerable that we turn to Him. Notice it doesn't say, though, I'm not being sadistic here, so pray for trials. God, give me more. And it doesn't say rejoice because of trials. It says rejoice in the midst of them. Because God is doing something. And that's the great message of James chapter 1. The goal is maturity. A story maybe I was thinking of, I was reading in Genesis, just kind of doing some Old Testament reading the last few weeks, and I was reading about the life of Abraham. And you remember a very well-known passage is in Genesis 15, where at the very beginning kind of God's dealing with Abraham, He made some promises to Abraham, and the text says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had initial faith in God and he became a believer in God. But then Abraham went through all kinds of trials. God had promised him a son. Well, he was 90 years old, and his wife was the same age, and it was a bit of a problem. Even though they lived longer in that day, it was still a bit of a problem. And so over the next several decades, Abraham, he didn't live a perfect life. He made some huge mistakes. He tried to get ahead of God. He tried to do things, you know, God wasn't doing fast enough. So, you know, a couple times he went down to Egypt and he told his wife tell them that you're my sister and not my wife. If you remember that story, he lied a couple of times and got caught in the middle of his lies. But in the middle of it all, through it all, he by and large remained faithful to God and kept trusting God. And eventually, he got the son of promise. Who was that? Isaac. Isaac, remember that name? Following, you guys read the Bible, right? Sometimes, okay. Isaac's born. Now, you remember the classic story, right? He gets Isaac, and God says, I want you to sacrifice him. And so Abraham, now his faith isn't just some initial little faith. Over the years of trusting God and sometimes failing and sometimes not failing and God beginning to mature him, and now he's kind of more at the end of his life and he obeys God and he is ready to sacrifice his own son, even though that son is the son of promise that God had promised him. And he was ready up to that very last second to be obedient to God. And the New Testament says that is the picture of mature, complete faith. He didn't get there overnight, friends. He got there through a lifetime of trying to learn to trust God in the midst of trials. And he gives me hope because he didn't do it perfectly. He failed some and he won some. So if you failed at your last trial or you're failing in the midst of this, don't give up. But do turn to God in the middle of it now with new understanding. The last point I'll make this morning on that is what seems to be insane. But he says, consider it or count it pure joy. Trials can be counted as a joyful thing. Not joyful in the way that the world uses it, like we're giddy and oh great, God, thanks. But a deep, mature joy that God, I am so thankful that you are at work in my life. I am so thankful that you are shaping me. God, it hurts. I don't love it. Sometimes I hate it. But you are shaping me to be more like Christ. And you are deepening my faith. And now, God, I'm able to trust you and lean on you and believe in you more than I did a couple years ago. I'm in a different place now, God. Thank you. I can rejoice in that. Last comment the only way this is going to work is if your goal for your life is the same as God's. If your goal is maturity in Christ. Otherwise, you're just going to fight God every step of the way, every trial. You're never going to get on His page when it comes to trials unless your goal for your life, no matter what age you are or how long you've been a Christian, is God, I want to be more like Christ in my faith, in my character, in my actions. And if that's the case, if you can embrace that, then you can count it all joy when you face trials in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, what a practical, powerful little passage this is, Lord, because it hits us right in the middle of real life. God, we all face trials, and probably in this room, you know, there's 70 people, there's probably 70 different kinds of trials that we're facing. They come in all forms and shapes and sizes. Some of us came in here this morning, we were so overwhelmed we could hardly get out of bed, we could hardly breathe. Because the weight of a trial that we're going through, our circumstance, God. But Lord, to come and to learn from Your Word that You are at work in the middle of these tests. And You are calling us to trust You and to follow You in the midst of these trials. You are calling us to come humbly before You and say, God, what is it You want to teach me? What is it You want to change in me in the midst of this trial I'm going through? God, my faith is being tested. And I want it to be found worthy and growing in Your sight. And God, I haven't thought too much about it, but with the conviction of this passage behind me, God, I want to make it the goal of my life to become more like Christ. So that I can have the same goal that You have, God. We can be on the same page. And trials can begin to be an instrument that You really do use in my life. And so, God, we commit our hearts and our lives to You. We pray that You would teach us and grow us through the trials that we face. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.